The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Hi, very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well as well, so let's get on with this. We're looking today at tips for protecting and growing your wealth. And do you think, Bill, in today's environment, which is a bit of a challenging one for investing and protecting your wealth, but can you do something positive?
Yeah, I think you can. I think there's no question. The problem for most lay individuals, by lay I mean people who are directly, intimately involved with wealth management, including a knowledge of taxing statutes and the manner in which tax may be legitimately avoided. The problem for most lay individuals is that they, however hard they research, and again it's a somewhat of a line I've used before, you don't know what you don't know. So you think you know pretty much all you need to know to get it sorted. From what you don't know, there's another thing that you're not even aware of that's skulking in the background that can destroy and damage your own personal tax planning opportunity. So I think you do always need to bounce whatever it is you're looking to achieve off of the skills and expertise of an independent and objective third party, so that although you may have got it all right, they give you affirmation that you have done everything right. Most of the time, 90% of the time, Blevins Franks, for example, in conversation with its prospective clients, we do find opportunities that we know about and we've worked on and dissected over years that the general individual researching his affairs would not easily discover. So we do, generally speaking, bring more value to the party.
Yeah. So how important is it to establish a personal strategy when you're thinking about protecting your wealth?
I think the key element that I think most clients would suggest Blevins Franks stand out above the competition on is that we do treat our individual clients as individuals with a personal solution to their own individual aspirations for the future. It's crucial that if you're setting up a portfolio of whatever assets it might be, from equities, bonds, corporate bonds, cash, it's essential that it's created and managed to meet your personal and particular circumstances and your own goals. We need to know what your risk tolerance is. We need to know what your requirement for income might be, or whether you're, what sort of capital appreciation you're looking for. We need to know lots of stuff about your intention for your assets at the end of your life. And to make sure that the investments that you've worked all of your life to accumulate are properly tailored for the tax environment in which you're now living and under which you're liable for tax. It's no good having assets which are tax efficient in the UK, like ISAs, for example, when they're fully tax payable in continental Europe, because that tax freedom is granted by the UK government for UK residents who therefore live in the UK. So if your expenses for the future are going to be essentially in euros, and you've not made a change to respect that fact, and you are invested largely in sterling denominated assets, for example, you have a massive risk on currency exchange rate variations. And if you establish the right strategy, you can start to move and balance and mix your currency arrangements with the investments in which those currencies are denominated, so that you've got a much better protection and a strategy for the future.
Well, Bill, how should you calculate your appetite for risk?
I think this is probably the initial discussion that one always has to have with a client. Blevins Franks have devised risk assessment processes, using Oxford Dons to develop tests which tend to help the client understand the elements of risk involved in any form of investment, and for them to make decisions and to help us make decisions on their behalf about the type of investments that best and most comfortably sit with the client. I've said this many times before. If you are laying in bed awake at night worried about your investments going down, you've over-risked yourself. Get out of bed and make the change in the morning. Before investing, you do need to be able to pinpoint the right balance of risk and return for your own peace of mind, as I said, but you'd often need help in understanding exactly where the risk is. I've said this again recently. Sometimes there's more risk in being out of the market than being in it. Had you been out of the equity market, for example, the UK FTSE 100 for the last 10 years, you would have made, if you'd had your cash in that safe, secure place called a building society account, over the last 10 years, you might have made 23, 24% cumulative over the whole 10-year period. If you'd been invested across the whole of the FTSE 100, you would have more than doubled your money. So we need to understand what risk means. You need to speak to someone like Blevins Franks, who can give you the right questions and use the tools that we've spent 40 years developing to create a clear and objective risk profile for you as an individual. Blevins Franks will then, of course, recommend an appropriate blend of investments to match your specific profile, but you still have the control over whether you accept that recommendation or go on to further discussions to fine-tune it. You know, without some element of risk, of course, you're going to struggle to outpace inflation. No risk, no reward, as the old saying goes. But over the longer term, the longer you have as a view for the future, provided your income requirements are met, the more likely you are to be able to take a slightly increased level of risk to exponentially increase the rate of returns you get over the longer term. And I think anyone at Blevins Franks who comes to give advice to a client talk mainly about how to control risk within the boundaries defined by the client, by perhaps staggering the timing of new investments, by allocating more to bonds and equities, or more to cash than equities or bonds. It just depends on the individual client. So, yep, it's absolutely essential to establish a risk profile, and that is the foundation stone of everything that Blevins Franks do for a client thereafter.
Well, for our listeners in Spain, Bill, is your time horizon a key consideration when deciding where to invest?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. One of the key questions, having gone through the risk profiling, is to discuss with the client their own time horizon. How do they see their investment profiling for the future? How long are they going to be living in Spain? How long have they been in Spain? Generally, the longer that a client has to invest, then the level of risk might just be increased slightly the longer the period of time, because with a commitment to time, you're able to ride out the sort of volatility that takes place in the market and benefit from. Everybody knows that over a lengthy period of time, the stock market will give you a better compound return than cash, but there will be dips and there will be rises. What you can do if you've got a commitment to the longer term is easily run through that volatility. You'll want to be sure that you have the right level of liquidity in your portfolio to make sure you've got access to cash at any time in the event that you need to access cash in an emergency, for example. And who knows? You know, plans don't remain constant. Things change. You might need to return to the UK unexpectedly, you know, for family or health reasons. So when Blevins Franks are looking at your timeline, we're always thinking with two caps. If you stay in Spain, how will we set your affairs up, and what would the impact on that be if you decided, or your widow or widower decided, in the event of a death, to go back to the UK? We need to make sure we've got all the bets covered, and that's why talking to someone with the breadth of experience of Blevins Franks is a valuable plus to your own discussions about how you may establish your own portfolio and your timeline of investment.
Bill, would you say there's a direct link between diversification and the performance of your portfolio?
Oh, yeah, no question. No question. I mean, you've got to be careful here, because diversification is the Bible of investment planning, in my view. The problem is, of course, if you invested proportionately in every single equity in the UK stock market, all you would end up with is average returns. What we're looking to do by selectivity in diversification is to select the best investment managers to look after our clients' funds. and they're selected by independent, impartial research by a consultancy that do nothing other than measure investment managers, and then we appoint them to look after various aspects of the client's portfolio. But the point is that we're trying to get the client to understand that by diversifying across, firstly, currencies, if you're living in Spain and you're living in the Eurozone and most of your assets are in sterling, you need to start to think about, should I hold more currencies than simply sterling? Yes, you should. In what proportions? Much will depend upon your attitude to risk and where you feel comfortable making a variety of currency investments. You might invest in, let's say, three currencies, dollars, sterling, and euro. You might invest in equities in each of the US, the UK, and the Eurozone. You might invest in fixed interest securities, each of those three economies. You might invest in corporate bonds in each of those three securities, in each three currencies. What you're doing in that sense is you're diversifying not only the currency mix, but you're diversifying the assets which you're invested in within those currencies. And you need to be quite subtle in all of this, because sometimes, you know, you invest a huge amount of money, let's say, in the big names in the FTSE 100 index, and you come to realize that probably in those 10 top companies, more than 50% of their income comes out of dollar denominated investments. So even though you're investing in sterling, the return on the investment is actually determined by the strength of the dollar. So you need expertise and skill to select which currencies, which assets, and in which proportions you have your portfolio established, to make sure that you've got the ability to sleep comfortably at night, knowing that you will go through volatile periods, but you're committed to the timeline we've talked about, but knowing that if you have that timeline properly set in your mind and you're confident in the advice you've been given, over the longer term you will make exponentially higher returns than you would from cash deposit type arrangements, which always look secure, yeah, but of course are being chewed up by inflation.
Yeah. So Bill, how do you best incorporate tax planning with your investment strategy?
I think you have to remember not to let the tax tail wag the investment dog, in my view. Tax planning, vitally important, of course it is. But you need to make sure that you have structured the balance, the diversification, your timeline, your appetite for risk, and you've got a cohesive strategy before you then look at how can I put all of that into an arrangement which legitimately suppresses the levels of income, capital gains, succession tax that I and my beneficiaries may have to pay during my life. And there are massive opportunities within Spain for holding your assets in a form in which it's perfectly legitimate to hold them, but which by so doing means that you are largely outside of the Spanish tax net by an enormous proportion to that you would otherwise be if you held them outside of these structures.
So Bill, finally, how often should one review their portfolio to see if it needs changing in these volatile times?
That's true, and in these volatile times it's difficult to be as it were firm about this with any particular individual. Some individuals, when we meet them, we tell them that there will be a 6-monthly, a half yearly review, an objective and a timely look at what you have had in your portfolio and what the results are. Some clients initially want to look at the share price and the unit price or whatever it is on a much more regular basis, and that frankly ends up being a depression, because when it goes down on one day you're depressed, and when it goes up the next day you're not. So my gut instinct is that if you good for financial planning isn't a set and forget exercise. Of course it's not. Everyone has their own kind of balance, their circumstances, their aims, their requirements, and those things change over time. So it is important to look at what you've got on a fairly regular basis. I mean, moving through different stages in life is another factor that requires change if you've gone through the retirement hoop. And if you are relocating elsewhere, or you're perhaps going to get an inheritance, you might want to change your mind about what you want to achieve and who you wish to inherit your money. There are lots of external influences, both in the law and the tax rules, which also sometimes prompt a strategy rethink. So I think whilst Levin's Franks tend to review clients, generally speaking, on a half-yearly basis, I personally think that an annual review, if you've set it up right in the first place, unless there are some material changes to your circumstances, a full review on an annual basis is probably more than you would need to keep you on track.
Yeah, okay. And how can our listeners get in touch with you, Bill?
I think if you go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com, you'll find lots of information about the business, and it will give you a breadth of knowledge about the sort of things that we do, why we think we're suited best to dealing with expatriates living in Spain, and there are office addresses, telephone numbers, personal biopics of the partners. You can look at all of those and give a call to the office. They would love to hear from you and take you through the creation of a strategy that gets you from where you are now to where you want to be in the future.
A pleasure as always, Bill. Thank you very much. We'll chat at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.